Recording.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Good.
Okay. This week, Parshas Matos Matzeh, I would like to explore the dialogue that takes place between Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. You should have in front of you two pages of Mamre Kamos. On page number one, on the upper part of the page, on the right side and the left side, there are Roman numerals, seven Roman numerals. And what I did was I divided the dialogue into seven segments. So we'll begin by reading the psukim and commenting on the language and on the evolution that takes place in the context of this dialogue. The Torah begins by telling us, they had enormous numbers of cattle. And therefore they needed a grazing area that would provide for the cattle. The Torah goes on, and then we have a list of areas that are Be'er HaYarden HaMizrahi, on the eastern side of the Yarden. These are areas that are verdant, that are lush, that have grazing area for cattle, for large numbers of cattle. And the pasuk goes on to say, "Ha'aretz asher hikra Hashem b'nei Adas Yisrael, eretz mitnehi v'la'avodecha mitneh." You'll notice in the language, and the language of the Torah is always very instructive. The language of the Torah is meduyak lahafli, often pungent with all kinds of remozim and chazal, and the Rishonim were incredibly sensitive. Their antenna were unbelievable in terms of how they were able to read between the lines of the Torah and somehow get a sense of the messages the Torah is trying to convey. So here the term mikneh is used a fair number of times. Their focus seems to be, their interest is not so much to enter Israel, as you can see. They're not going to enter Israel, but rather their focus is that their nachla should be Be'er HaYarden, which is Eretz Mikneh. They're interested in grazing area for their cattle. That's the first section. The second section begins in Pasuk Hay. Vayaru deitam Moshe Rabbeinu im matzonu chen be'enecho yutan nesoret azos la'abodecho lachuzo al tabirinu v'fayardein. This is a rather bold kind of statement made by Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, and the language also is very instructive, very revealing. The language of Yutan, this land should be given. Al tabirenu v'fayardein. Almost as if they are directing Moshe Rabbeinu, telling him what to do. Right away Moshe reacts in a very strong kind of fashion. And this is part of the second section. Vayomer Moshe l'bnei Gad v'l'bnei Reuven, ha'acheichem yavo l'milchama v'atem teishu po. Your brothers are going to join the war effort to conquer Israel and you'll remain here. V'lama siniyun es lei b'nei Yisrael. Ne'avor l'aretz Hashem asamayim Hashem. Eretz Yisrael will give it to us. The other side of the Yarden. That's who the Ribono Shel Olam promised us. Why would you go ahead and chas v'shalom, perhaps by virtue of your actions, inheriting every Yarden on the other side, create dissension, and right away Moshe Rabbeinu invokes the episode of the Meraglim. The same verb that Moshe Rabbeinu uses, a very strong, harsh kind of verb. And as a result of the Mechina Meraglim, we know there was a, as the Gemara says in Tainis, the Gzeira on Klal Yisrael that they would wander in the Midbar for 40 years and not have the source of entering Eretz Yisrael. Vayichach Hashem Hayom Ahu Vayishavah Limor. And of course, that's the Shavua that we say every Friday night, El Shabbos Tzvila, Hashem Nishvati V'Yafi, in the Bo and El Meruchasi. The Bo took a Shavua that we would not be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. And the Pasuk continues, In Yeruvah Nashim Olim Mitzrayim Ben Esrim Shana V'Malo Ha'isa Adam Hashem Nishvati L'Abraham Mitzok L'Yakov Ki Lo Meluach Haroi, with the exception, of course, of Kalev Ben Yefuneh and Yeshua Ben Nun. And we know, as the Torah tells us, Vayichach Hashem Yisrael Vayiniyem Bamidbar Abrayim Shana. That is the most dreaded punishment, the punishment of Novonod, the punishment of being in Golos. And Chazal tell us that in Acharemos, the end of Acharemos, and the end of Kedoshim, even when we are ensconced in Eretz Yisrael, the most dreaded punishment of all Yisrael is Hatzvisholim, to go into Golos, to go into exile. And the Torah uses similar expressions at the end of Acharemos and Kedoshim, the Lashon of Hakor, Hei Kuf Aleph Hei. V'lo yisoki horet etzchem betamachem oto, kasher kor etzagoy asher lefnechem. The Hatzvisholim of Eretz Yisrael will spew you forth. And here, we haven't yet even come to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Chenda Teba Ruchaba, and the Rablim, because of their actions, behavior, undermined and negated the entry to Eretz Yisrael, which was the unbelievable plan of Hashem Yisbarach from the very beginning. Tavdu Nisrael Okim Al Arazeb, where the Rambam writes to the end of Sochin, Tavdu Nun, after 50 days, Minor Hasinai, and then the entrance to Eretz Yisrael, which would have been a golden entrance and would have led to a golden age era. And now Moshe Rabbeinu accuses them, Bineid Kamtem, in Pasuk Yudalad, Tachas Avoseichem, you are basically, says Moshe Rabbeinu to them, being Mamalim Mokom of the Meralim, Tarbust Anashim Chatoim. Look at the language. Moshe Rabbeinu is condemning them, an incredible broadside that Moshe Rabbeinu delivers to this group of people. V'spos od al charon af Hashem of Yisrael. The Lashon of V'spos od also reminds us of Sukkim down in Tanakh. But you're adding fuel to the fire. Your actions are incendiary in nature, inflammatory. Ki sushuvun mi'achav yasafo v'anichov v'amidbar v'shichatem v'cholom hazeh. Your activity, Moshe Rabbeinu says to B'nigabe Reuven, can Chas V'Sholom be responsible for Hashchosa, for destruction? Wow, what a reaction. Moshe Rabbeinu reacts to them in the strongest way possible, in accusatory language, invoking the Meraglim. So now the Torah goes on, and notice, the language again now undergoes a change. Clearly, reaction and response to the denunciation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayikshu elav vayomru. The language of Hagosha, Chazal tell us, we know that this Lashon of Hagosha is found a number of times in Tanakh. Rashi refers to it. Hagosha ledoron, Hagosha letfila, Hagosha lemelchama, as in the context of Yaakov Avinu, about to encounter his long-lost brother Esav, and Yaakov prepared himself for three methodologies, three different types of strategies, and the Lashon of Hagosha, Chazal cites Sukkim. And in a similar vein, Bayigash Elov Yehuda, also Chazal, see there the same three strategies utilized by Yehuda, Hagosha Lidoron, Hagosha Lapius, but he was ready to combat Yosef if necessary. And finally, of course, in the context of Eliyahu HaNavi, they're also the Lashon of Hagosha. So Hagosha already implies they have somehow come down from the lofty perch, no longer are issuing pronouncements that they did at the outset. Vayikshu Elav Vayomru, Gidro Som Nidne L'Bitneinu Po V'Yarim L'Tapeinu. We're going to build enclosures for our cattle, and we'll also provides for our children. But undoubtedly, we will join the war effort. We're with you. Till the mission is accomplished. And the second column. We're not going to return. We're not going to come back. Teva Yarden, the other side, which is what we want as a Nachala, till we carry out the mandate of helping Klal Yisrael in the war effort. Kilo Nimchal Itam Meva Yarden Mahala, but they continue to insist that their Nachala, their Achuza, is in a different geographic locus. Kivo Nachala Steinu Eveinu Meva Yarden Mizracha, they're going to inherit Eva Yarden on the eastern side. So notice the language is a bit more tepid, a bit more respectful, no longer a pronouncement, but now an indication that they're going to be together with Klal Yisrael. And now the next segment begins. Vayomer aleihem Moshe in tasunus hadavar hazeh, and Moshe Rabbeinu also, his language reflects their language. Man erach yoshiv chema, says Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei. And they also responded a bit more softly, and as a result, Moshe Rabbeinu again responds in turn. Vayomer aleihem Moshe, im ta'asunus hadavar hazeh, if you carry out this commitment, im techalutzu b'nei Hashem la'milchama, v'yavar lachem kol chalut etzayadein b'nei Hashem, again, you'll be valorous, you'll come as soldiers, join in the war effort, ad ha'vishow etzayvam nipanov, v'nich b'shaharetz b'nei Hashem v'achar tashuvu, once kibush haaretz takes place, then you'll be able to return, v'yisem nikiyem v'Hashem v'mi Yisrael. And then this land could be an achuzah for you. But if you don't carry out this tonight, then you are transgressing. And then Moshe Rabbeinu responds to their comment. So you'll notice here also a number of fundamental distinctions that Chazal already, with their unbelievable insight and antenna and incredible intuition, picked up. In Roman numeral number 3, in Pasuk Tezayin Yidzayin, what was their suggestion? We'll build enclosures for our cattle and Orem Utapeinu, and then for our children. So right away Chazal indicate they inverted the Seder. What's more important to them? And the answer is Gidros Tzom. And then, secondarily, Orim Utapeinu. They took the Ikar, namely our children that are our Netzach, and made them Tofel, and made them secondary. And they took that which is clearly secondary, namely their cattle, and made that preeminent and primary. So right away, Moshe Rabbeinu has to correct that, and he does. In Roman numeral number 4, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, "Binu lachem in pasuk habdalid, binu lachem arim letabchem u'gderos etzonachem." You have to have your priorities straight. First, your children. That should be your major concern, and then subsequently, you can worry about your cattle. That's number one. Number two, notice that the language that they use and the language used by Moshe Rabbeinu is markedly different. How do they present the commitment they're about to undertake? In Pasuk Yitzayim, lower right-hand corner of the upper right-hand column, their commitment, of course, is to Bnei Yisrael. We'll join them in the war effort. We want everyone to be able, after Kibush Haaretz, after the conquest of Israel, everyone should be able to find the Nachala. But Moshe Rabbeinu indicates to them, your language is not a proper one. And what language does Moshe Rabbeinu use? In Pasuk Chaf, Im Techoltu Lifnei Hashem, The issue is not just Bnei Yisrael. The issue is in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach. These are tzibuyim hatochot of Hashem Yisbarach. And Moshe Rabbeinu continues, Chaf Aleph. We are about them kocholutz and sayadim b'nei Hashem. And continuing, b'nichbisha haaretz b'nei Hashem. And continuing, b'hoitza haaretz azor slochem b'achuzor b'nei Hashem. And perhaps that's why the pasuk in between b'yisa nikiyem Hashem Yisrael, which is the Mishnah, the famous Mishnah, notice that we have to, whenever we engage in whatever activity, we have to make sure that both Be'inod Mechadero and Be'inod Mamokom are in place. But clearly Be'inod Mamokom takes primacy of Be'inod Mechadero, and that's the pasuk of Yisrael Mikim, Yashem and Yisrael. Their concern was only about Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, you forgot the Levnei Hashem component, which is that certainly overshadows and overrides the Yisrael component, and perhaps that's why that pasuk is quoted. We know that a person has to be exceptionally careful. The Gemara comments on this over there. The Mishnah in Shtolim and Chazal say, "Umitzochei b'seichel teiv, be'ene Elokim de'odam." First Elokim and then Odam. You have to have your priorities in order. So we see here again another very significant correction on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu, the way he reacts to the Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven. And now the Torah continues with the next segment. After they agree to carry out what Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Vayomer Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven al Moshe Lemor, Avodecha Yasu Kasher Adoni Nitzaveh." Notice that now the language also undergoes a change. Initially it was pronouncement, and then Moshe Rabbeinu's strong language, and then they become a bit more tepid in their approach, and Moshe Rabbeinu responds in turn. B'midah Shadon Modei Modei Dinlom, and now they become almost kafuf, submissive, as they should be to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they say, Kasher Adoni Mitzadeh, we are going to carry out your tzibui, your command. Tapeinu Noshenu, notice they, of course, now have righted the wrong. First Tapeinu, then Noshenu, and then Mitneinu V'chol Be'emteinu, Yiyu Shom Be'or Agilot. So now they got their values squared in the right direction. And furthermore, v'avodecha yavu kochalut sova lifnei Hashem l'milchama kasher Adoni dober. They got that as well. The recognition is not only that we are operating in the theater of Bnei Yisrael, but primarily we are operating in the theater of Hashem Yisbarach. V'yitzav lohem Moshe, and again, lashon of tzibui. Tzibui, of course, implies the way we articulate every bracha, asher kidishonu b'mitzvei v'tzivonu. And that's how a Jew surrenders to Hashem Yisbarach. At the end of the day, we try our best to understand, to provide rational underpinnings for everything we do. But the bottom line is Tzibui Hashem. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu had to get across to them. V'yitzav lohem Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu directs Elozer, Yeshua, Rashi Avos Hamatos, V'yomer Moshe Aleim, and Pasuk Memtes, Im Yavu B'nei God, B'nei Reuven, Yitzchem Asa Yardin, Kol Chalutz HaMilchamah B'tnei Hashem, again, the language is very precise. V'nich b'shaharetz v'nechem, if you carry out your commitment, u'nisatim l'am eteres hagil l'achuza. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu clearly was not happy about the request, but at the end, Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to accede to their bakashah. But the tonight, the proviso is that they carry out the mandate as they indicated. V'im lo yavru chalutim b'tchem, but however, if you do not do so, then of course you're not going to have access to Eretz Hayarden on the eastern side. This is called the Tznai Kofel, the Mishnah Kedushin. The Mishnah says, they're called Tznai, She'en Ol Kofel, En Ol Tznai. So Moshe Rabbeinu clearly articulates the Mishpat HaTznoyim on this pasuk. And their response is, Vayanu v'nei God v'nei Reuven Lemor, Esa Shadibra Hashem al Avodecha, Kei Naseh. Clearly, they are in agreement, in total unanimity, with Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Torah continues. And this is Roman numeral number 6. Nachnu na'avor chalutim l'tnei Hashem eretz kenon v'itonu achuzat nachalotenu me'eiver la'yardein. Even the language of nachnu and not anachnu, again, some of that initial, very strong kind of language that they use has now been completely and totally qualified and muted and moderated. Nachnu Nahor Chalutzim, we are obedient soldiers. We're going to carry out the mandate. And that will be Lufnei Hashem. And as a result, Vayitem Vahem Moshe, Livnei God, Livnei Ruvay, Vahati Shevem, and Hashem and Yosef, Mamlechet Sichon Melech Amori, Mamlechet Og Melech Haboshon, Haaretz Yareh Bigbulos, Arei Haaretz Sovit. What's fascinating over here, just as an aside, a halachic aside, if I may, as I mentioned, Moshe Rabbeinu issued a Tanai Kofel, namely, Im Yavru Yiyeh Kach Vekach. Im Lo Yavru Lo Yiyeh Kach Vekach. That's the position of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the mission condition of Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, that you need a Tanai Kofel. Tanai She'eino Kofel, Eino Tanai. So now the question is, were they mastered to this Tanai Kofel? And the answer is, perhaps not. Because notice, when they re-articulate the Tanai, they do it without a Tanai Kofel. They don't say, the way Moshe Rabbeinu said, Im Yavru on the Satan, Im Lo Yavru v'nochaz v'zavrechem. What do they say? Nachnu na'avor chalutzim levnei Hashem eretz Kenan, v'yitonu rachuzas nachalaseinu v'eivu la'yarden. So either one can interpret this to mean, they told Moshe Rabbeinu, we are very confident that we're going to cross the Yarden. There's no need for tznoyim. No need for any kind of preconditions. But perhaps the Torah is telling us something else. That B'nai Gad and Reuven did not completely accept the tznay of Moshe Rabbeinu in toto. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the laws in Yeshua, in Yavru, unisatem lahem. Which means that once you carry out the mission, namely the mission that will be directed by Elazar and Yeshua, only then, then I'll give you Eretz Gilah. But till then, Eretz Gilah is not yours. You have no right to Eretz Gilah, to Eretz Yarden. And what do they say? Nachnu na'avor chalutzu m'vei Hashem Eretz Kenan, v'yitom rachuzat nachlasein m'eretz Yarden. We are not committing ourselves to this Sinai Kofel. We're not in agreement that only after the Kiyum HaTanai, Eretz HaGilah will be given to us as a Nachala. But rather, Nachnu Na'avor Chalutzim, V'yitanu Achuzas Nachalaseinu. Right now, the Matana should be Chal. We want the Matana to be Chal immediately. So in other words, when they cross the Yarden to help Klal Yisrael on the war effort, Eretz Gilah already belongs to them. Of course, with the Tanai, then, they'll cross the Yarden and they'll join the war effort. So the question is, wow, no Tanai Kofel on their part, and the Rambam writes the Halacha in Hilchos Ishus and Perek Vav, Halacha Yizayin, that only when you have a Chalois that's going to be in the future, you require a Tanai Kofel. But if something is Chal right now, there's no need for a Tanai Kofel. So it could very well be that's the reason why they were not faithful to Tanai. It's just the halakhic aside of the fascinating nature when you read the Sukkim carefully. They're not masking to Moshe Rabbeinu, that only after the Kibush Oretz, they'll be in the Kabbalah of Israel. They want the Matana to be called immediately, and therefore there's no need for the Kfeilus of the Tanai. And apparently Moshe Rabbeinu accepted that position. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk says right there, in Roman numeral number 7, by Yitem Lehem Moshe, Lehem Gov, Lehem Uvein, Mamlechet Sichon Melech Amori, Mamlechet Og Melech Haboshem, so we see that Eir Ayad, it was given to them, Miyad, with the Chalois of Me'achsha, if the Mekayim the Tanai, and be Mishtatev in the Kibush Oretz. And we see this as well in Pasha Dvorim, Mishneh Torah, when the Torah reviews the event, the Torah is over there in Peragimo, Sukkim Tezvav Tezayin, Ulamachir Nasati Et Hagilod, and similarly in Sefer Yoshua, Moshe Rabbeinu accepted this drisha, this request on the part of B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven, that Eretz HaGilah will be given to them miyad, immediately. So simply what I wanted to show you is an unbelievable dialogue. A dialogue that you can see undergoes an evolution. An evolution from a very strong, strident position that they took Moshe Rabbeinu responds in an equally strident fashion, and little by little, they come down from their lofty perch, and as a result, ultimately, they accept the tzibur of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu himself is also willing to effect some compromises in the context of the discussion he has with Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. It's very fascinating that I heard from my Rabbein many times that even the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, which you don't have in front of you, but to a large extent, the first few parshas in Sefer Dvarim very much reflect this underlying dialogue that Moshe Rabbeinu had with the God Bnei Reuven. Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty, as one could imagine, being mekabel their request for Lev Shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu so much wanted them to come to Eretz Yisrael. He wanted all of Klal Yisrael to be part of Eretz Yisrael. And we see this a number of psukim at the beginning of Dvarim. I can't at this point expatiate on this matter, but we know that in the very beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu makes the following statement. Eile HaDvarim, of course, is the Divrei Tochacha that were told by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a Divrei Tochacha of a one continuum going all the way come out to the end of Sefer Dvarim. But at the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem Elokeinu Divrei Eileinu V'chorei Gleimor, Rab Lachem Sheves B'har Hazeh, Pinu Su'u Lachem, Uvo Harho Emori V'yakol Shechina V'arova B'har, Bashvela Banegav B'chof Hayom, Eretz Aknani V'alvonom, Ad Nahar Agadol Nahar Peros, Rei Nasati V'mechem Es Ha'aretz, Bo'u Ushu Es Ha'aretz. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos cites this as one of many psukim that he catalogs that speak about the Chemetz HaGuf of a Jew living in Eretz Yisrael. So clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu was troubled, and he was really directing his attention, maybe even in a subliminal fashion, to Bnei Gad, why aren't you coming with us to Eretz Yisrael? And this continues throughout Sefer Dvarim. Fascinating that one would have thought that in the first few parshas of Sefer Dvarim, which is Mishneh Torah, as Tosfos writes in the beginning of Gittin, and other Rishonim point out as well, one would have thought that right away Moshe Rabbeinu would have addressed the major parshios, the Chevah Egel, Aseret HaDibros. It only comes later. Chevah Egel is in Ekev, Aseret HaDibros is in Maschanon. At one point in time, the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, davened so many tefillos, Maschanon and Lashem, Tov Kuf Tes Vav tefillos, to enter Eretz Yisrael, to minyan Maschanon, to be mavato v'gzeirah that Hashem is Baruch imposed on him, that he went out to Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, even though I'm an Eva Yadin right now, v'eschanon l'Hashem, everyone know the Eretz Oretz HaTeva, Hashem v'Eva Yadin, ha'har ha'tev hazeh v'hel v'non. I'm an Eva Yadin, but I want so much to enter Eretz Yisrael, and you have the opportunity to enter Eretz Yisrael. And yet you are mavato in Eretz Yisrael, and you indicated a preference to remain Eva Yadin. And then Moshe Rabbeinu rails against Abu Zara, which is a theme throughout Sefer Dvarim. But despite all the techacha of Moshe Rabbeinu in the beginning of the first few parshas of Sefer Dvarim, it does not have the required effect. And Bnei Gad continue to maintain their position. And finally, Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that he's not been successful. They're not going to change the hachlota. So the pasuk says over there, at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu decided to go ahead. He was waiting. Maybe they'll change their mind. Maybe there won't be a need to have Orim Miklot in that part of Eva Yarden. But since they're not now listening, so Moshe Rabbeinu separates three cities to be in Orim Miklot. And perhaps that also is a remez to Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, because Chazal say, how is it possible that in Eretz Yisrael there are three Orim Miklot? And the same number in Eva Yarden. And the Gemara says in Makkos, the famous Gemara, the one that tests the days, the Gemara comments that because in Eva Yarden, in Gilad, Shichi Rotskin, there are many, many murderers, many Rotskin. There's a need for a Miklot there. Why are there more Rotskin in Gilad? And here one could speculate, perhaps because initially their hashkafa was not in order. They valued their mikneh more than they value their children. Perhaps that's a zilzul dak b'chayei adam. And maybe this gam that was there emerged only later. Or perhaps the reason they are many rotzim in Gilad is because they are distant from the Merkazei HaTorah. They're far from the Beis HaMikdash. They're far from the Sanhedrin. Whatever the case is, we have seen that B'nai Gad B'Ruvain did not act in a proper kind of way. Chazal comment on this, and the Rishonim talk about it on page number 2, the Das Kenan Bali HaTesis, the lower left-hand corner, among many. He right away focused on this issue. U'mikne Rav Hoya, said the Das Kenan, the Tisha Hoya, Ashirim B'Yeser, Chivu Mamonam. Chazal say, Officer Abnosim, Adam Nikar B'Kiso, B'Kaitsoi, U'B'Kaso. Money is given to a person, but it's primarily given to a person to be utilized in a proper way, in a positive way. It's fascinating. There's a Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, when the Rambam there articulates the fact that we don't have a doctrine of self-incrimination, which is popular in secular law. A person can incriminate himself. He can go to Bezin and say, I killed someone, and they'll actually give you capital punishment for that. But the halacha is ein adam eitzem atzmei rasha. And the Rambam quotes that halacha in Hilchos Sanhedrin. It applies both to not just an einish misa, which a person would get for reticha, but even any einish haguf. A person violates a law, he's chayav maltis. So for that as well, ein adam eitzem atzmei rasha. I can't go to Bezin and say, I ate the veilus of seifus. And then if I'm chayav maltis, we throw you out of court. So the Radbaz, both there in the Rambam Hilchos Sanhedrin and the Radbaz in the Tshuvos Radbaz, asked the question, why is it different than monetary matters? The person has the ability, if he wishes, to go ahead and to be mischayev $1,000 to Reuven. And we accept that as chayvus. Gemara Ksubis, Gemara says several times in Shas, mischayev ani l'chol mona b'shtar. What's the difference? Why is it when it comes to mamon, I have authority, I can, if I wish, take my money and throw it away, discard it, junk it, and yet when it comes to incriminating myself, that I can't do. So the Radbaz is mechalik between my guf, which is not mine. My guf is simply, I'm a steward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a pikadon. There's also Shitas HaRamban in Vayikra with members to Kabbalus and other Rishonim as well. I have no right to neither to engage in Chabolah, as the Mishnah writes in Baba Kama, nor do I have the right to go ahead and incriminate myself. I'm not a Bailam of my Talmud Elohim. My Talmud Elohim belongs to Hashem Yisbarach. However, when it comes to money, Hashem gave us money. We can either use it for chesed, for tzedakah, for supporting yeshivas, or we can go ahead to Chas V'Sholem and waste it, fritter it away. So back here, in the Taz Kenan Bali HaTesis, he writes, money could be utilized in a proper way, or chas v'shalom, money could be utilized inappropriately. It could actually distort one's values, one's veltshan, one's hashkaf ha'selam, and they were guilty of this. And therefore says the Bali HaTesis, Golu tchila kol ha'shvatim. Chazal, the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, indicates they went up to Golus. Chazal, even though we're talking about great people, B'nai Gad B'nai Reuven, and yet Chazal take them to task for values that were not in order. The Medrash actually writes over here, quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. Medrash says, regarding their bakosha, regarding the very request, Nachla Mivoy Helas Barishena V'achrisa Loi Tevarach. This is the Nachlam of Aheles. That which they chose, the other side of the Yarden, was without proper Shikol Hadas. And that's reflected in the fact that they first wanted Gidros Tzoyin, and then subsequently Orim Litapeno. And the fact that they even preferred to live in Eva Yarden, HaMizrochi, as opposed to Eretz Yisrael, HaMekudeshet Yotzer, closer to the Merkazei HaTorah. It's not a question of Esau. but it's a question of what Mesiyas Yisharim and Parachof calls something is missing in the Mishkal Achsidus. One has to learn how to balance different elements and try to find the correct approach. A gargantuan challenge for all of us. They looked at things in a way which was improper, inappropriate, and it led to unfortunate consequences. Subsequently, as Chazal say, they went into Golos at a very early stage. I want to explore now, with your permission, not just this element of the fact that they acted hastily and their values were not completely in order. We see this, by the way, elsewhere. Chazal, for example, in the context of Ephron Achiti, also described him as a ish nivar lahon ish ra'ayim. Again, the person who's over-eager for wealth has an evil eye. He refers to Ephron, and again, he's recorded in the Torah with the vav missing, and he also was very hasty. He acted in haste, in confusion, because he saw the potential profit that was to be made, and he acted in haste. His whole mindset became one of great confusion, and of course, that's in the context of selling the Masa Machpelah. But this quality, this particular element of behilos, of acting without shikol hadas, is really the son advarim of the entire discussion between the God and the Ruvein. So Baruch Hashem, they somewhat corrected this inappropriate approach, and Moshe Rabbeinu also felt the need to compromise with them and to effect some sort of a pshara. What's fascinating also, and this is discussed at great length by the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, who's found on page number 2. I'm not going to read the entire Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, but he is very concerned, the Aruch Chaim, about the status of Eved HaYarden on the eastern side. What is its halachic status? And what was their thinking? Why did they assume that somehow the other side of the Yarden would, in effect, also be in order and be in sync with the Havtocha of Hashem Yisbarach, that you can call yourself Eretz Yisrael? And the lengthy piece, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, bases it on one pasuk, which they indicated when they said the following, the very beginning, in the Roman numeral number 1, pasuk Dalet. That's how they introduced this issue. Haaretz asher hiko Hashem b'vnei adaf Yisrael, eretz mikneh hi, v'lavodecha mikneh. So the time was that this land was conquered by, under the directive of Hashem Yisbarach, under his aegis, under his guidance, and therefore it certainly has the status of Eretz Yisrael. Asher hiko Hashem. And it goes on page number 2, you can see it in the middle column, he refers to a Rambam, Hilchos Trumas, that this is Kibush Rabim. I'm not going into that sugya right now, but that was their argument, that this land has Kedusha, a full-fledged, full-blown Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, because it was captured by Klal Yisrael, Kibush Rabim, Dinok Eretz Yisrael. But as we'll see, other Rishonim have a different approach. And just to share with you a little bit of that, many Rishonim point down, we actually say in the davening on a daily basis. The Ibn Ezra actually comments in the Halal HaGadol that we say on Shabbos and Yom Tov that Eretz Sichon Va'ov in Eved HaYarden was not part of Eretz HaMori that was promised to the Avosein HaKadoshim. The Ibn Ezra writes in Tillim, in Kuf Lam Yivov, we say that on Shabbos morning, U'l'sichon melech HaMori ki v'yelum chazdei. Uloig melech haboshon ki deyvam chazdei. Benotza marzom lenachalo ki deyvam chazdo. Nachalo v'yisrael avdo ki deyvam chazdo. Says Ibn Ezra, benotza marzom lenachalo, which is the segment following upon the heels of Sichon melech HaMori and Og melech haboshon. There the David HaMelech speaks of ki deyvam chazdo in the context of those two. And then subsequently, David HaMelech says, "V'nasa matzav v'nachala, ki v'yelum chazdo, nachala v'yisrael avva, ki v'yelum chazdo." Says the Ibn Ezra, "V'nasa matzav v'nachala, shalahoya bibris l'sita lahem, alkei nitzkira nachala, el tisrael, on the right side, on the Eva Yadin, Marava." That is the authentic nachala of Klal Yisrael. And that which Sichon and Og, ki v'yelum chazdo, says the Ibn Ezra, that is not the true nachla of Eretz Yisrael. That's pure chesed on the part of Hashem Yisbarach. And this idea is found in a number of Rishonim, the Ne'iri, Antilim also I saw, writes like that. But the matter is further explored and discussed by the Ramban in a number of places in his Perush al HaTorah. And here, on the page in front of you, on page number one, the lower right-hand corner, I have a bit of the Ramban. There are actually several Rambans. I cited the Ramban in Chukas, Perek Chaval, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The Ramban writes over here that Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Pasuk tells us earlier in Bamidbar, he sent overtures to Sichon. He was looking to make peace. And the Ramban says, "V'ha'yachovet she'yeh kol tibusha me'evel ha'yadim v'ha'la." Moshe Rabbeinu wanted all of Klal Yisrael to be together on the right side of the Yarden. Eva Yadin Maroba. Vishehi Aretz HaTeva, Shehu Zavas Cholav Udvash. That's the Eretz Zavas Cholav Udvash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us. But what happened? Im lo shebikshu minenu b'negor b'nei Ruvain, it's not for the Bakosha that they submitted. Lo yameniach shom odam elo shetiach hareva. That land would have remained desolate. It would not have been populated. Bichlal. So you see from the Ramban, that even though the Ramban contends, and he writes this earlier in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, that was part of the land that was Nichras, a bris with the others to give to Klal Yisrael. However, the Ramban here contends that the Kedusha is not the same as the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban quotes from a Medrash, "Shein Eva Yarden Roy Lebina Betanibnosh." That area, Eva Yarden, Mizracha, is not worthy of building the Beis HaMikdash. And the Ramban, in many respects, is very similar to a famous tshuva of the Tashbetz, Rav Shimshon ben Tzemach Duran, who wrote the classic tshuva on this topic, on the status of Eber HaYarden, that he writes that even though, as far as mitzvahs are concerned, Eber HaYarden is the same status as Eretz Yisrael, but Eber HaYarden Yoma, the other side, the right side, the correct side, has a sgula, namely the sgula of Hashuas Hashchina, is Dafka Eber HaYarden Yoma, not Eber HaYarden Mizracha. The sgula of the Gemara Baal Basra, Abir Eretz Yisrael Machim, is Dafka in that part of Eretz Yisrael. The sgula of the Gemara Subis, Kol Adov Eretz Yisrael, Shari Bala Yavam, and Chazal Amaflig, on the mildest of living in Eretz Yisrael, on Kvur in Eretz Yisrael, that's Dafka on the other side of Eber HaYarden, not the side that they chose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not choose that area should be a makom of Hashuas Hashchina. Tzvei dinim, said the Tashbetz. And the Ramban is defending the Sod. There are two aspects there to soil. One regarding mitzvahs, and here, Eber HaYarden, Mizracha, has status. But regarding Hashuas Hashchina, and all the beautiful, wonderful schools of Eretz Yisrael, that's Dafka, Eber HaYarden Yoma. So, their position, which was based on that pasuk, Eretz HaShehika Hashem, is not a simple position. And the truth is that this is the subject of the Mishnah in Maaseches Bikurim. If you take a look in the lower left-hand corner of page one, I'm not going to explicate that now because that will take us a while. But the Mishnah writes, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, "Ein Levin Bikurim Eber HaYarden She'ena Eretz Zavas Cholav Udvash." That's not the land that Hashem Yisbarach gave us by Haftocha. I would like to refer you to a Gemara in Ksubis and Daf Lamed Hei and Aleph, which is also on page number one, a Gemara that I heard many, many years ago from our Goyim, Rav Aaron Halevi Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, whom I was very fond of and had a connection with, in my high school days. He referred to the Gemara here. The Gemara calls a pasuk. Pasuk that's found in Tehillim, Pei Zayin, Mizmor, Livnei Kerach. So David HaMelech speaks about Orei Hashem Shari Tzion, Shor Mamitzionim Ba'alocha. The Gemara says in Brachis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Shari Tzion. And then David HaMelech goes on to say the following statement. That's what the Gemara quotes here. Ulatzion Yeomar Ish Beish Yuladba Behud Yechanenera Elyon. Says the Gemara, Amar Amesha Vabrei Rabeshua Belevi Echad HaNeiladba the Echad HaMitzapeh Liroisa. What's the meaning of that expression? Man and man were born there. So the Gemara in Ksuba says, why the double lashon? Ish v'ish. So the answer is, there's a fundamental distinction between Tzion and any other country on the globus. Regarding Egypt, Babel, only one who was born there can be considered to be a citizen of those countries. However, regarding Eretz Yisrael, regarding Tzion, there are two types of people who can be called B'nai Tzion, or citizens of Tzion. Number one, the person who was born there, but the non-native, who may be born elsewhere, but has a tshuka, a gaguin, a passionate, yearning desire to connect with Tzion, is also considered to be among the B'nai Tzion. Rav Soloveitchik told over the following anecdote. At the time of the British mandate over Palestine, the British authorities passed a law that set up a quota of Jews who can enter Palestine. For example, the Jews from Romania might be granted 100 certificates to enter Palestine. So what happened that the Romanian quota was already filled by the Romanian Jews, and the Czechoslovakian quota was not. So a number of Romanian Jews who wanted to enter Palestine thought of producing false affidavits, stating that they were born in Czechoslovakia. But because they were Yoreim Ushleimim, they were God-fearing people, they inquired, they asked a shayla. They asked the Goyim, the Rav of Yerushalayim, going to Rabbi Chaim Zunefeld, say Chatzal Zivracha, are they allowed to do so? Rabbi Chaim Zunefeld responded, that would be absolutely dishonest and awesome. Under no circumstances would that be permissible. Why? Because the Torah tells us, Kisa Amas Hashem Kaleisa Eile, anyone who engages in dishonest practices, that which is not yashristic, that's something which is absolutely repugnant in the eyes of Hashem Yisbarach. Following that, the same Jews then contrived to produce a false affidavit to the effect that they were born in Palestine, that they were born in Eretz Yisrael. And again, they asked Rabbi Chaim Zunefeld Zatzal, was that permitted? And this time he said, they were allowed, permitted to produce such an affidavit. So they asked the Goyim of Yerushalayim, the Rav of Yerushalayim, why? What's the distinction between this and the previous situation that we described to you? Why is this affidavit permissible and the other false affidavit prohibited? And the Chaim Zunefeld responded, this affidavit is not false. And he cited the Gemara in Ksubos and the Afayinheim and Aleph, where the Gemara said that the halacha, Ulatzion Yeomer Ish Beish Yuladba, Echad Hadorba, the Echad Hamitzapeh Lereisa. In other words, even if I only have a strong desire, a Jew who has a desire to live in Eretz Yisrael, a Jew who was not born in Eretz Yisrael, didn't have that source, but has that great desire for Eretz Yisrael, is considered to be automatically a citizen of Eretz Yisrael. I imagine that the so-called Chok HaShvut was based on this Gemara in Ksubos. I assume that's what they were thinking of. I can't imagine they had any other basis for that position. So let's just try to address one last issue in the context of B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuben. As I mentioned, Moshe, his immediate response is unequivocal, is immediate. He reproaches, he chastises B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuben. Ha'acheichen yavo la'milchama v'yatem teshuvo. Absolutely unacceptable. But then he continues to rebuke them and indicates that their behavior could be Rahman al-Islam, disheartening, disillusioning for all of Israel. He compared them to the Meraglim. So initially, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks as a kind of Navi, a kind of spiritual guide, but secondarily he indicates that he has to consider as well all the wider ramifications of their behavior. But Moshe Rabbeinu does not stop. He goes on to challenge them, and this is found in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. And following this initial stage we mentioned, there's a back and forth, a dialogue, and ultimately they accede to Moshe Rabbeinu's request, and ultimately Moshe Rabbeinu agreed to them as well. My father, Olam Hashem, was very bothered by a very simple balabata shekasha. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu agree? Why should Moshe Rabbeinu agree to something that was completely and totally antithetical to whatever Klal Yisrael subscribes to, namely, all of us, our home is in Eretz Yisrael, the entire Tanakh, from the beginning of Bereshis all the way to the end of Divrei Hayomim, indicates that very clearly. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu somehow was ready to compromise and did compromise with them at a certain point in time? So my father, Moshe, thought that the answer to that question is the following. It's very interesting. And this passage may be a sod regarding Eretz Yisrael. Whenever the Torah speaks about going to Eretz Yisrael, making Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, the Torah uses the following language a number of times. Ki atem ovrim es hayarden. What an expression. Ki atem boyim el aretz kenan. Ki atem ovrim es hayarden aretz kenan. The language is somewhat awkward. The language is somewhat cumbersome. And there are many other similar examples. My father thought that this expression reflects the fact that if a Jew wants to come to Eretz Yisrael, it's true, he's automatically a citizen. But what must be malave, the aliyah of every Jew, is the cheshek, realizing that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Chenda Teva Rechava. That's critical. And without that, without those gaguim, without that tzipia, without the kmiha, Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says at the end of Ksubis, Amaroyim Rababa, Hayamanashi Kipadako. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, he kissed the ground. Rabchia Bagamba, Hayamizgalgia Ba'afroshal Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says that's how we overcame the Pasuk in Tehillim. Kirotsu Abodecha Esabonea, Esafora Yechainenu. Those gaguin, that cheshek, it's critical for one who comes to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz HaTzvi, Eretz Chefetz. There's a chiba that every Jew should have to Eretz Yisrael. And when Chazal were compelled to leave Eretz Yisrael, the descriptions, Zogurei Neim Demos, they were not able to leave. They were so overcome with tears because their passion for Eretz Yisrael was an ava. Can only be described as Mayim Rabim Vayuchul Chavay Tisa Abba Unaharas Toish Tefua. Imi Tenishes Kol Hoyin Beisoy VaAbba Bos Yavuzulo. And even though there's Alocha, the Gemara says in Subis Teifin Ala Mitzvus, Bezin has the right to compel a person to fulfill mitzvus, but if a person doesn't have a strong desire, doesn't have that appreciation of Eretz Yisrael, it's not the ideal matzav that a person should come to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Mayono, his whole tshuka, His entire persona was so mishtaikeh to come to Eretz Yisrael, and yet it was the will of Hashem Yisbarach, he should not do so. Eretz Yisrael's Eretz Chenda Teva Rechava Sheratifa Bimchalton Abiseinu. The Goyim writes in the letter, when the Goyim made an effort to come to Eretz Yisrael, he wrote a letter to his wife and to his children, and he writes over there, I'll cite part of the Lashon, Bosi v'vakech mi'itchem shalot tistaru klal uklal, don't be bitzar. Hine anoshim noisim al kamashonim b'shul mamon. People sometimes travel to the far ends of the earth for monetary reasons, for economic reasons. Manichim nishoseim, they leave their wives and families. V'gamheim noim v'nodim b'chaseko. And they're wandering all over. V'ani, he says, thanks to Hashem Yisbarach, noiseim le'eretz ha'kdoisha, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Shakol mitzapim liroisa. Chendat kol Yisrael. Chendat Hashem Yisbarach. Kol eogenim atachteinim. Chukosu neleha. That's how the Goyim writes. The most passionate, unbelievable letter regarding Eretz Yisrael. So, unfortunately, B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven was somehow somewhat lacking. But Moshe Rabbeinu at the end was maskim to their request, Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Talmud Yerushalmi already tells us the distinction between Eva Yadin, Eretz Yisrael, the authentic Eretz Yisrael, and Eva Yadin Mizrocha is the following. Eva Yadin, that we, Baruch Hashem, Azecha, to live, was given by Hashem Mizrocha to call Yisrael. And the other side, Eva Yadin Mizrocha, not Mubatmam, the Lashon Yerushalmi. They took it themselves. And that's why the Torah requires that Maisa be brought only from Eretz Yisrael, even though Midrabanan they expanded this din to include surrounding areas. So essentially, what was Moshe Rabbeinu telling them? Are you for economic reasons choosing to give up Eretz Chen B'Torah Rechava that Hashem has brought to us in favor of a land that you are taking of your own accord? You prefer a land where the intensity of the Shekhinah is incomparable to that of the other side of Eretz Yisrael because you've been blessed with a lot of livestock? But Moshe Rabbeinu was making a valiant effort, and certainly there's a very significant lesson here that all of us have to learn. Those who abandon Eretz Yisrael, the land that Hashem Yisbarach gave us, for financial reasons or other reasons, chas v'shalom, we're not condemning them, God forbid, we have no right to do so. But simply, those people are missing the mark in terms of the aim of which Moshe Rabbeinu and all the leaders of Klal Yisrael throughout Jewish history have tried to educate us. I want to be misayim. We are now in the Shloshta de Puralusa, a period of time where we're mourning over the Churban HaMikdash, Ben HaMetzorim, and this is the period of time we have to accentuate our connection to Eretz Yisrael, and we have to be Mekayim the Gemara, Kol HaMisaber Al Yerushalayim, Zoyche V'Roye B'Simchosa, V'Chol She'enu Misaber Al Yerushalayim, Enu Zoyche V'Roye B'Simchosa. As Rav Chaim Voloshin pointed out, the Loshon Hoved of Chazal, present tense, this is an ongoing obligation to recognize the beauty of Yerushalayim. Zohar Yerushalayim. Yimeon Yom Rudeha, that's true, in the context of Eicha and the Kinos, but at the same time, Kol Mechmudeha Asher Hoyel HaMigir Kedem. So in reality, the most important element of Avelus of Yerushalayim is to realize what we are missing, what is chaser. Let us make the requisite tikkunim, and let's do it with the proper Mishkav Achsidus, as the Ramchal in Messiah Seshorim Perachav points out, Halavai, we should realize, Eine Hashem Elokecha Bo, Mereshis Ashona Rach Rishona, Yehi Ratzon, that Hashem Yisbarach should give us the Siyata Dishmaya, and the Seichel, and the Shikol Adas, to be able to have the profound appreciation for Eretz Yisrael. And that school, we should be zeichet to see Nechom Asiyon Ubinyan Yerushalayim V'Samigdash B'mheir B'yameinu Amen B'yameinu. Yeshikach. Thank you, everyone. You continue to be mezakeh me. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks so much.
A small